What happened is he got seven times worse. You know how it was. He was doing a little bit of dirt, but now he's real dirty. Oh, come on and shout amen here. In other words, he got seven times worse. Oh, come on and give God some glory. And tell your neighbor, neighbor, don't go back. And he said they walk with him no more. In other words, they were just fans of his. They say, Jesus, we burning your jersey. We are not your followers. We're just your fans. While you were blessing us, we were all right with you. While you were helping us, we thought good of you. While you fed us, paid for our buffet meal out in the wilderness, we were all right with you. But now you talking crazy talk, saying eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. What Jesus was trying to let them know, let me give you some mystery. See, the Bible says there's the milk of the word, there's the meat of the word, then there's the mystery of the word. Here is the mystery. Jesus is the bread. He was the unleavened bread. But not only was the unleavened bread, but he was the Passover lamb that was cooked with the blood and all the innards inside. I wish I had somebody. So if you eat of the Passover lamb, he said, eat all of it. I need to eat his guts so I have the guts of compassion to love somebody. I need to eat his eyes so I can look at people like Christ looks at them. I need to eat his ears so I can hear what thus said the Lord. I need to eat his mouth and tongue so I'll speak the word of God. I need to eat his legs and feet so where he leads me, I will follow. Do I have anybody that say, I'm not a fan, but I am a follower? Say yeah, say yeah. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. Then Jesus asks a question. Jesus asks the question in verse 67. He said, will you go also? And Peter ain't have much sense, but he had enough sense to say. He said, where shall we go? He said, you got the bread of life. I wish I had a few people that say, Jesus, I'll never leave you because you said you'll never leave me. Jesus, I'll never leave you because with your stripes I'm healed. Jesus, I'll never leave you because when affliction come, you said you'll deliver me. Jesus, I'll never leave you because you said greater love than no man had than this, than a man will lay down his life for a friend. Do I have anybody? But then Jesus answered. He said unto them, I chose 12, and one of you is a devil. He already knew it. This is before the Passover supper. He already knew it. He already knows who's going to walk off from him. You just need to say, I ain't the one. I'm going to stay right here. You see, when I realize there is a disciples ratio. What is the disciples ratio? Well, the disciples ratio says one out of every 12 people will turn their back on him. One out of every 12 people will betray him. Now look down your row, and you better count yourself as number one, because by the time you get to 12, yeah, that person right there, they're probably going to leave Jesus. That person right there is probably going to backslide. That person right there is going to throw in the towel and say, that's it. I quit. Even though Jesus came through 39 prophets and 42 generations, even though he died until the sun refused to shine, even though he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders and gave up the ghost, they still want to leave him. But the Bible says it doesn't matter if you want to leave him because he still loves you. He said, greater love and no man than this. And he bowed his head and died. And they put him in a borrowed tomb. Why was it borrowed? He only needed it for the weekend. Because, Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Somebody say, yeah, don't call it a comeback. because he wasn't gone too far. He just went to hell, took hell, death, and the grave, and he went and got him out of the grave, and he came back to the grave, and he rose on the third day, ascended on a cloud, and the angel spoke and said, why are you gazing? This same Jesus, somebody say the same Jesus. I don't want another Jesus. I know the mama's got a Jesus. I know the other folks got a Jesus. But the same Jesus that mounted a cloud over 2,000 years ago, he's coming back in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Somebody say yes. When the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ, they shall rise, and we who are alive and yet remain will be caught up. But there is a key. You gotta be caught up now to be caught up later. Say yes, say yes. I know he's all right. Come on, tell your neighbor. Grab your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not even know two things. But one thing I know, I know he's all right. Now say yeah, say yeah, I know he's all right. He's all right. I say he's all right. Say yeah, say yeah. Is he all right now? Won't God bless your life? Won't God heal your body? Won't he walk with you? Won't he talk with you? Won't he tell you that you're his own? Say, won't he do it? Anybody say, won't he do it? Say yeah. Do you believe? If you believe, you ought to be a follower. Jesus said that if any man follow me, let him take up his cross and follow. If you're going to come after me, take up your cross. Now we take it up, then we complain about how heavy it is. Everybody is not going to like you. They didn't like Jesus, and they ain't going to like you.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised Word of God Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to call your attention to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, for it is the word of the day as it relates to us understanding our personal ministry of evangelism, each member reaching out to someone, sharing the love of Christ with them. In this verse, we will find some helpful holy hints as to how to be a worthy witness, a worthy witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in God's presence. I want to talk about a worthy witness. I've said before, I'll say it again, this is one of the areas I do believe that the enemy has hoodwinked, has fooled the believer, has scared the believer into not sharing his or her faith, undermining the power that lies in an effective witness. If the enemy can keep you from sharing Christ with others, he keeps you from sharing that witness that could save somebody else's life. This is an important word today, especially as we look at every member evangelism. It's not just the preacher's job, the minister's job, the teacher's jobs, the missionary job, others who are assigned to different ministries in the church to witness, but it's every believer's job to share Jesus with somebody else. And one of the things that you're going to note is as Jesus is speaking to the disciples and others here in verse 7, he talks about it being only in the authority of God to know the times and to know how and when things will come to an end, etc., etc. And he uses a word called power at the end of that 7th verse, which in the root etymologically speaks of the word exousia, which is authority or jurisdiction. But in verse 8, he uses the word power again with a different primitive etymological root meaning, which means or comes from the word dunamis, which is the same root word that we get dynamite from, which means explosive and the ability to change. This power in verse 8, "but ye shall receive power," is the ability to change things and things be different when you as a spirit-filled believer do what he or she has been anointed to do. Dynamite, I don't care where you are, if you set it off, it's going to change things. It's the power, the ability to change, to recreate, to do things so that when it has had its effect, it will not be the same again. When a believer witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, the life to whom he or she witnesses should not be the same again. Now, power, say power. Now, there are three things out of this word in this context that I want you to hear and understand so that the next time that you witness, you'll witness with power. First of all, Jesus is making clear, "but ye shall receive power." Well, when am I going to receive it, Jesus? After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So if the Holy Ghost is not present, then you cannot have Holy Ghost power.
All right.
And if you can't have Holy Ghost power, then you cannot have Holy Ghost effects. And so some people are trying to have Holy Ghost effects without Holy Ghost power. And Jesus said, this kind of power you're going to have once you receive the Holy Ghost. And that's why so many of our churches are filled with a whole lot of hype and a whole lot of fluff. Got a whole lot of noise, a whole lot of hand raising, a whole lot of foot stomping, a whole lot of hand clapping, but don't have a whole lot of substance because it is not filled with the Holy Ghost. And there are just some things that cannot be changed except it be changed with dunamis power. Holy Ghost power that changes things. Listen, when you have that kind of power, number one, with that power comes excitement. Excitement. Why excitement? Because, listen, it changes things. It rearranges things. Things are no longer the same in the presence of this kind of power. Jesus had an authentic and attractive ministry. Everywhere he went, it was exciting because everywhere Jesus showed up and demonstrated his power, things changed. People went to meetings expecting a blessing, expecting a change, expecting something exciting to happen. They got up walking many miles to be where Jesus was because they knew something exciting was always going to show up where Jesus was. And that same power Jesus had, he left for us, so that we too can demonstrate that kind of power on his behalf. Yeah. Listen at this and understand this. The excitement that comes with this power is not of you, it's in you. Yeah. In other words, you can't create nor recreate this kind of power. It comes only from the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So that means he can do some things that the devil himself can't do. And it's an exciting life one lives when every day they choose to walk in the authority of the Lord, the power of the Lord, to demonstrate for Jesus Christ a witness that is worthy of him. And that power is present to do just what the Lord empowered you to do. Listen, that is not only is there excitement in that power, because listen, when that excitement is present, the person who is speaking through that power is exciting. You know, you ever hear them boring Christians who just don't get excited about nothing? Just ain't got no joy, no nothing. And they got nerve enough to want to get in front of folk with them boring presentations and no power, no life, no nothing. And they wonder why folk don't want to hear that. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the combination of spirit and truth makes up for an exciting time. Because that excitement comes in the word, and the word through the Spirit of God stirs you up. And ask Jeremiah, if you got any word in you, and even when you don't feel like having church, when that word gets stirred up in you, you cannot stay. You can be mad and ugly as you want to be with somebody, but if the Holy Ghost starts moving, something's going to happen on the inside. And I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I just couldn't keep it. I wish I had a helper today. To myself. So not only is it exciting, but it gets folk excited. Woo, we had some church today. Because the Holy Ghost stopped by. No, he was already there. He just got in some folk and stirred up some folk that were able to allow him to do what he does best. And let's lift up Jesus. But not only is there excitement in this power, but there is engagement. It gives us the ability to engage others in conversation about Christ. You see, a whole lot of us know what to say. We just don't have the power to say it. We're scared to speak to someone we don't know and say, do you know Jesus? If you were to die today, do you know heaven is your home? We don't know how to engage folk and find out if they've been bought with a price. If Jesus is their Savior and their Lord, we don't know how to engage them. But this power gives us the unction to engage folk. I was just sitting there minding my own business, and the Holy Spirit asked me to ask you, are you saved? I don't care how they may be looking, how they may feel, what appearance the outer man has. When the Holy Ghost tells you to say something, you ought to say something. You're not worried about being rejected because you don't want to reject the one who saved you. And it was somebody that God used to save you, and it is you through which he wants to use his power, his word, his ability to save others. So engagement comes with this word power. And lastly, the word effectiveness is the end result of this kind of power. You see, when the Holy Ghost is upon you and you are using his power, then you are going to be effective. You ain't got to set them feelings and emotions aside. It ain't got nothing to do. It's about faith. It's about walking and talking and speaking according to the word of God. Jesus said this, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Listen, my job is to lift it. His job is to draw. And if they don't want to be drawn, then they will be driven, but they won't be the same after they hear an anointed witness. Their spirit will become convicted. They will have a restlessness and a peacelessness now, knowing that they have an opportunity to change their life and to change their ways and to turn from darkness into his marvelous light. And now if they choose not to accept that, then it's on them. And they reject him rather than you reject him by not telling them what he told you to say to them. Doesn't really matter if they don't accept it and you've done your part, because you can't do no more than your part. Your prayer is, your hope is, your desire is, they would accept him. But you can't make them do that. So he releases you after you do an anointed part, which is to witness in a worthy manner. With excitement, with engagement, with effectiveness. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters. I think I need to tell you. You need that kind of power. To truly be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because whether you know it or not, every day across this land, this country, our world, there's court being held on Jesus Christ. Men are trying to prove that he isn't who he say he is. They're trying to discount and disprove that he is the Son of the living God. They're trying to act like Jesus was just a prophet and just a man, but he is and was and always will be the only begotten Son of God. And isn't it good to know when you go on your job and court is in session on Jesus, that if he ain't got nobody else, and then the Holy Ghost say, I call my star witness, and that happens to be you. Sometimes you're the only witness the Lord has. And listen, my brothers and sisters, wouldn't it be good to know that you can stand in the power of his word and say, yes sir, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I don't want you to be fearful, because you don't have to be afraid, first of all, if you have a relationship with him. And then if you have the gift of the Holy Ghost, he will give you in that same hour what you need to say. As a matter of fact, don't be fooled. Don't be tricked. Listen, because after the defense attorney says what he has to say, he lets you loose to the prosecuting attorney. And the prosecuting attorney always comes to cross-examine. But whenever he comes to cross-examine, it's always to cross you up. But when he tries to cross you up, something ought to go off in your brain. Cross, cross. It was at the cross. At the cross. Where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart. I wish I had a witness. You don't have to worry about being crossed up when you're a star witness for Jesus. Because all you got to do is talk about what the Lord has done for you, where the Lord has brought you from, how he fixed it when you couldn't fix it yourself, when you didn't have two pennies to rub together, how he put food on your table, how he kept a roof over your head, how he put clothes on your body, how he healed you when you're sick, how he loved you and rocked you when you got weary. I'm talking about Jesus. If you're talking about Jesus, he's a friend of mine. I wish I had a help. It ain't hard talking about Jesus.
It's not hard.
Listen, I got two more points. Sit down. And so you move on from the power to the purpose. Because he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And here comes the purpose. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's the purpose for the power. You see, the Lord didn't just give you power to have power. He gave you power for a purpose. The purpose was to be a witness for him. To do for him what needed to be done in the spirit realm required spiritual power. And the Holy Ghost would be the one who would give you that power to witness with authority, with strength, with excitement, with engagement, with effectiveness. When you talk about Jesus, not only do you talk about him being prophet, priest, and king, but when you talk about him as a witness, you then introduce to the court the personal experiential reality of knowing him for yourself.
Yes, sir.
You see, that there are just some things you may not know about Jesus. And see, when you are a star witness, you are an expert witness, the questioning is usually limited to your field of expertise. When they call a forensic expert, they usually limit the questioning to the field of forensics. Yeah, when they're calling someone else who has an ability or an expert in that field, then they limit that questioning to that field. And then many times he'll have to say, now can you break that down in layman's term? When they start expressing and explaining how that works technically, so. But when it comes to you, you are an expert witness experientially. In other words, you can really tell them about what you really know. You remember when the blind man had received a healing from Jesus and they tried to trap Jesus, tried to trick Jesus, tried to get folk to talk against him, talking about he was a blasphemer, he was a deceiver, and all of that kind of stuff. And when they went to the man, they said, can you tell us about him? He said, listen, I don't know nothing about all that other stuff you were talking. All I know is I was blind,
now was I see. So I can tell you, he's a healer.